Hello and welcome to our live stream broadcast right here at the Himmelane Institute in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. My name is Catherine Templeton and we're going to be working together today to learn all about how to offer yourself a do-it-yourself home fall cleanse and rejuvenation from the medicine of Ayurveda. We are very grateful to our mission members, and we really appreciate your support of the Institute, and we hope that you enjoy the presentation today. So let's get started. Why is it that Ayurveda practices these seasonal cleanses? What is it about the change of season that Ayurveda feels is so important for us to have like a reset? And in order for us to understand that, I have to lay out a few foundational items. So we'll get to those in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know what you're in for over the next hour. I'm going to give you the foundation of why we cleanse in Ayurvedic medicine, talk a little bit about how it pertains to you in particular at this time of the year, this time of evolution in the world, where you are at your different stage of life, so it becomes a little bit more personal for you. I'm going to give you some options about how to engage with the cleanse. Maybe you'll take 2 weeks. That would be ideal, but hard for us to do. Maybe it'll be 1 week for the cleanse, and during the food portion, even just 2 days. So I'll explain all of that to you in just a moment. And then I want to talk to you a little bit about what you're going to need to gather to prepare for your cleanse. So you'll have those things on hand already. The last thing we want you to do is to get all set to do your fall cleanse and rejuvenation and all of a sudden have to go to the store and get some things. So we'll talk about that. And then I want to talk to you very specifically about how to rebuild and rejuvenate, because that's a very important part of what we do at this particular seasonal juncture. So let's get to the foundations of why. Why are we cleansing at this time of the year? In order to do that, I want to lay down some ideas that we've written up on the board for you. So, over here we've drawn the Ayurvedic clock. You may know this from other presentations we've offered you, especially if you've been able to watch our tri-dosha information. That's where we talk specifically about doshas, and we talk a little bit more, more depth about the Ayurvedic clock. But for now, I want to bring you into this model. So here we have our seasons of the year. We have spring, which starts at the beginning of late winter, you know, when that crocus fights her way out of the soil and the snow is on her. That's the beginning of this season. In Ayurvedic medicine, we call it kapha. So it's late winter and spring. Then we move into summer, which is what we're just ending right now. We're just at the beginning of September. We're just at the end of summer season. Summer blends into late fall and winter. So what happened to early fall? The season of autumn, or the season of fall in Ayurvedic medicine, is actually the seasonal glitch that's right here. It's where summer begins to blend in to the winter. Actually, that whole 6 weeks, 5 to 6 weeks, depending on where you are in the country, is considered the time of seasonal cleansing in Ayurvedic medicine to move from the heat of summer into the cold of winter. Here in New England, we're very lucky because we don't have to think that much about it. We have the trees to tell us all about it. As we go outside and we look at the trees, we see all of the greenery on the tree. And about now, we'll see that one tree start to begin to turn. And what that means is the leaves will start to get a little bit yellow, maybe a little bit orange, beginning to become more and more emboldened with their colors, red, until we see the full heat that that tree has been collecting all summer long begin to get expressed right out through its leaves. And then as soon as those leaves start to fall, as soon as those leaves start to turn brown and rough and crisp, they begin to get detached from the tree, they begin to get translucent, we know we've made that seasonal change completely and we're at the beginning of the late fall, early winter stage and the next dosha, the next season. So what we go from here is the pitta season moving into the vata season, or summer season moving into late fall or into winter. That's the time that we need to begin to reset our system, just like nature does outside. You'll see the little squirrels running around and they're gathering all of the goodies that they want to keep because they're going to be going into a time of frost and cold. There won't be much for them to savage and to bring into their storehouses. So we want to do the same thing. It's a little different now because we live in the modern era where we have beautiful buildings, we have heating systems, we have great winter wear that we can put on so we can protect ourselves from the cold. But back in the day, because remember Ayurveda is an old medicine, back in the day, we had to take extra precautions during this autumn season to both cleanse out the heat that we've been building just like the tree during summer, but to prepare and build our reserves so that we'll have a lot of support as we go into winter. So the other words I'll be introducing you to, besides dosha, which again you can look for more information in our tri-dosha series we have here on the Wisdom Library, we'll be introducing Agni in just a minute. But this building of the reserves that I'm speaking about is related to the concept of ojas. So building our deep vitality, building our resiliency as we gently cleanse, that is the focus of this fall cleanse and rejuvenation. You may have heard of other cleansing and rejuvenating times of the year in Ayurveda. At the springtime, we do a very deep cleanse. We do a little bit less rejuvenating then because we're going from a winter into a very hardy time of year into the spring. And when we go into the springtime, we don't have to worry so much about our resiliency. It's naturally there because we're going into the time of year where everything is being born again. And there's lots of vitality inherent in the plants, inherent in the seasonal weather. And we don't have to worry so much about being protected from the cold and the rough qualities of winter. So that's mostly a deep cleansing time of year in the spring, but not so much in the fall. If we deeply cleanse in the fall, we'll be going from a lighter, hotter time of year, which is naturally cleansing, the summer, into a very light and very, very cold and very, very etheric time of the year, winter. So we're going from a light time of year into an even lighter time of the year. It's very important to gently cleanse and deeply rebuild and rejuvenate. So that's why this particular seasonal transition is very specific in Ayurvedic medicine. It will help you build qualities that will support you all winter long. You may notice that when you start to move from your last summer vacation or the last mowing of the lawn and the leaf season begins here in New England, and if you're in San Diego, it goes from, 75 to 71 degrees. It's a very subtle change. But when we start to go into that early part of fall, into autumn, you might start noting some different changes in your physiology. Because of the heat that we've accumulated over the summer, we often get itises, sinusitis, rhinosinusitis, laryngitis, these types of things. We get skin issues, oftentimes rashes, or our skin begins to have a little bit of a dry quality come into it. The eyes might become dry as well. We might also see some sort of itises in the eye itself or in the ear, these types of allergies, like allergic reactions. Oftentimes, we'll also see a little bit of a variability in mood. So I often hear students or clients report to me that the fall season is a somewhat melancholy season for them. And that makes sense, right? Because that vibrancy of summer begins to wane. And just like the leaves turn brown and they leave the trees, there's a sense of loss or beginning to move under. And that's the nature of how the seasons move. So this melancholy feeling that many of us get at this time of year is a normal seasonal change, but we want to take care of ourselves then. We want to do some things to really support ourselves then, and that's why this type of rejuvenating activity that we do in our seasonal change is so useful and so important to our mental health, not just our physical health. So noticing that you might have a little bit more frenetic feeling as you go into winter, you know, I was at my local drugstore, I live in Connecticut, and I was going in to grab a card for my way up here to the institute to give to a friend, and I noticed there were some skeletons out, you know, with some Halloween activities, and there was a turkey image for Thanksgiving, and I know that the Hanukkah and Christmas ornaments are on their way, and it's September. So we're already seeing that frenetic energy that Vata has, that winter season has, start to accumulate. Really important that we're very steady when we move into it. So it's a long discussion, I know, but it's why we do this cleanse. And I think it's super important for us to understand the why. Otherwise, it doesn't really seem to make sense what I'm going to ask you to do. So the shorthand is we've accumulated heat all summer. We see it beginning to leave nature, just like the leaves and the trees. We want to help detoxify it from our system. And we're going to use a 2 to 3 day food cleanse to do that, to reset our digestive fire which we'll talk about in a minute, our Agni. At the same time we're cleansing, and this is unique to this season, we're going to begin to rejuvenate. So as we cleanse and push out that heat, we're going to rejuvenate and build those reserves so that we're able to make it through winter safely and calmly. Okay? All right. So let's talk about what you need. How do you prepare for this do-it-yourself home fall cleanse and rejuvenation? Let's start off with some things that we're going to need to begin to purchase to support ourselves with this food cleanse. Let me talk a little bit about this because people usually get very anxious when I talk about changing diets. Nobody wants to give up their very favorite smoothie or their favorite cup of coffee, these types of things. And in Ayurveda, you know, we don't say things are bad or wrong, but we say there might be a more intelligent way to take those foods to support ourselves versus just taking them when our desires hit. Maybe take them in a way that the food can become our medicine and can support us to feel that same amount of energy when we get up in the morning, all throughout the day, and then when we go to bed at night. So there isn't this up and down cycling of our energy. We want to feel a consistent energy throughout the day. And that's hard for a lot of us to do because we tend to run 10 million miles a day. So we'll talk about how our foods can help us do that. When we start thinking about our cleansing component, the first part, the detoxification of the heat, I want you to think about what are the qualities that the fire element has in our body. We talk about this in Ayurvedic medicine with the Sanskrit word guna, or small g, not the big mahagunas of the mind, but the small qualities. These are qualities like hot, right? Summer's hot. It's moist. It's not a dry heat, especially not for us in the eastern United States. But pitta dosha, or the summer, according to Ayurveda, has an inherent moisture within it. It tends to be light, lagu. It's light in quality. It's spreading. So I always say, you know, if I have a small rash here, it might spread down my arm or might spread over to my other arm. That spreading quality is something that fire tends to do. We see this with the destruction we're seeing right now in the fires we're having in the western United States. So fire spreads, and according to Ayurvedic medicine, summer is most related to the fire element in our bodies. So we have light, we have hot, we have spreading, we have moist. Sharp is another element. Sharp as opposed to soft. So people who have a lot of fire in their elemental constitution tend to be sharp-tongued, you know, or maybe a little too blunt. It might be that we're sharp with intellect or sharp in tone, and we need some softening. It also will regard to the sharpness of our digestive power. So sometimes when our digestive fire gets very sharp, we might feel a little bit of acid in our system, and it might make us uncomfortable. You might even feel a burning sensation in the digestive system. So these are all qualities that we accumulate over summer just by being in the heat of the season and probably enjoying some of the things in summer that we might not do in other seasons. For example, sunbathe, right? Laying outside and being able to soak up the radiance of the sun. Well, too much of that's going to create this building of heat in our tissues and our body. So in order to detoxify that, there are a couple of tips I want to share with you that I'd like you to begin to do prior to the food cleanse of our Ayurvedic fall cleanse and rejuvenation. I want you to gather some fruits of the season. So we have here a couple of pears, right? And it's really the skin of the pear that's so important for you to have, not just the meat of the pear. The skin of the pear within it has some qualities that are a little bit bitter and a little bit astringent. And those qualities actually help to begin to detoxify heat out of our system. Same thing's true with a nice green apple. So it's a great season to go out and pick apples. Red apples will work as well. The green ones are a little more tart. That's why I like those, because they're more like me, a little bit more sour and fiery. But the pears and the apples will give us a natural sense of astringency and bitterness, which will help in our digestion to cool some of those qualities we picked up during the summer. So being able to go out in nature and pick yourself some seasonal fruit will help you as we begin to prepare for our food cleanse. Another couple of things you might want to have to prepare, so even before the food cleanse, is to have a little bit of this liquefied substance here, which we call ghee in Ayurvedic medicine. The French call it clarified butter. But basically, we're taking our butter and we're boiling it and drawing off the milk fats, and what's left is this beautiful golden ghee. It's a very easy to digest oil. It has a beautiful nutty quality to it. And in Ayurvedic medicine, it helps to cool and regulate digestion appropriately. So it's a wonderful way to saute vegetables, put this on your potatoes, add it to your oatmeal in the morning. It helps create the necessary moisture we need in our system to have those good fats, but without creating too much of a heavy quality that we begin to feel bogged down in our digestion. So this is something that you can make at home, and later we'll be giving you some recipes, or you can certainly purchase it as well. So ghee and pears is what I want you to first think of to start to gather, just to prepare for the food cleanse. Start introducing these to your diet. So let me lay out for you what the food cleanse could look like. I'm going to give you a few options. So if you're brand new to this, you've never done a fall cleanse or rejuvenation, I want you to think about maybe taking 2 days to do the food cleanse. Maybe it's a weekend. Maybe you'll start your fall rejuvenation and cleanse on a Wednesday, and you'll prepare Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, you'll take the food cleansing portion where we're changing up the diet. And then Monday and Tuesday, going back to Wednesday, we'll do the post-cleansing, bringing you back to your regular diet slowly. If you're someone that's cleansed and rejuvenated before using Ayurveda or other types of systems that you feel very comfortable with changing up your diet, then definitely do at least 3 days. So what I suggest you do is you get your calendar out, open it up to the next 4 weeks or so. Find 1 7-day period that you're not celebrating a birthday, you're not going to your favorite Mets game or whatever team you like, whatever team's playing, Auburn football game. So don't be going away to something big. Don't be celebrating something big in your house. Find a time when naturally you're going to have some opportunity to cook at home a little bit. You're going to be able to rest and relax a little bit. This is very important for this particular seasonal cleanse and rejuvenation. And then during that 7-day period, or if you're an advanced superstar, you could do it for 2 weeks even. No longer than that is really necessary at this time of year. I want you to find within that period of time 3 days that you could change up your diet and have fidelity and determination and courage to simply eat this mono diet I'm going to introduce to you. If it feels overwhelming, if it feels like that's not something you can do, if you have issues that a dietitian has said to you, no, you can't change up your diet, then certainly this wouldn't be something that you would do. So check with your physician if you need to. However, we're not asking you to stop eating. And this is a very important difference in Ayurvedic cleansing than in other cleansing programs. We're simply asking you to rearrange what you're eating for a few days. Because we live in the world, because we have to interface with the highways maybe, or with our children or our parents, or with folks at work, we need to make sure that we have enough nutritional values to keep our tissues strong. We don't want to become too debilitated by simply juicing or not eating for a few days. That's not going to work, not for anybody at this time of year. So we want you to eat, all right? We want you to make sure that you're getting in good nutritional values at every single meal, and we'll get to that in just a minute. All right, so let's review. Either 2 weeks or 1 week, probably a week. Either 2 days to 3 days, you're going to be taking the food component of this Ayurvedic cleanse and rejuvenation, okay? You're going to go get a couple of pears or some apples or some nice astringent, bitter types of fruits that are growing in your area right now to have on hand as you begin this process of cleansing and rejuvenating. You're going to look for some lovely ghee, either making it yourself or purchasing some at your local store. I actually saw some at my local market in Brantford, Connecticut. So if we've got it, trust me, you've got it somewhere too. And you'll have those on hand, and you might start adding that into your foods. At this time, you might want to start pulling back any heating types of foods that you eat. I don't mean hot the mouth. I mean hot in taste, so jalapenos, mustard seeds, vinegary things, things that are fermented, kombucha. You know you like kombucha. No, none of that during this particular cleansing season. We don't want to have fermented foods or heating foods during this 1 week period of time. All right? So if those are your favorites, just it's going to be a beautiful opportunity for you to practice courage and determination to sort of stay away from them. You know, maybe bring them to your favorite neighbor as a gift. They might really love that, because we don't want to have them near you during this time. We don't want to keep building heat right now. For this brief window of time, we really want to detoxify heat out of the system. I want you to remember that when you're thinking about why am I doing this, okay? Then we won't have those itises. We won't have those issues with inflammation as much. We may not have much of a mood swing as we might normally have. And when we go into the winter season, hopefully we'll be building more vitality and resiliency and immunity, because we've taken care of ourselves before we get there. So, what is it we want you to do during the actual food cleansing component, during that 2 to 3 day period with your diet? We want you to eat, first of all, 3 meals a day. So let's go back over to the clock and check this out. In Ayurvedic medicine, we're big fans of eating and we're big fans of routine. So something that may be very new for you is simply eating 3 times a day. A lot of people skip the very first meal of the day, and that's a problem for our digestion. So when we go to bed at night, let's say bedtime's at 10 p.m. Well, let's just pretend like it's at 10 p.m. then. So let's say bedtime is around now, right, 10 p.m. And wake-up time then is around 6 a.m. Let's just say you might be an early riser. It might be 5 o'clock for you. No sweat. If you tend to get up later, just move it back a little bit. So your 7 a.m. might be, your 6 a.m. might be like 6:45, you know, working back towards 6 a.m. But this is when we ideally want you to wake up. And we'll talk a little bit more about rituals and routines. But if you're waking up around 6, you've been fasting since you went to bed at 10. So from 10 until 6, the body's been naturally fasting because you've been sleeping, or at least trying to sleep. We're going to try to help you out with that too. So when you wake up in the morning, you're breaking your fast. Hence, you're having breakfast, right? You want to break the fast. And coffee with cream is not breaking the fast. I hate to break it to you, but that's not it. So your breakfast right here is going to be coming a little bit after you've woken up. So maybe around 7 o'clock, before you go to leave to commute to work, if you commute to work, or after you've woken up the kids, if you have a family with children, so that they can have their breakfast as well. And I want you to think about what will be the easiest food for you to digest at that time. Not the quickest, not the simplest to make, but the easiest on your digestion. And from an Ayurvedic point of view, that would be some very simple grain. All right, so we're getting ready to get into fall. For some of us, it might still have some heat in our season. This morning, I woke up here in Honesdale, and it was, I think, 55 degrees, maybe. So definitely a good time to have some warm grains. If wheat is an issue, then oatmeal would be a lovely thing for you to have. You could have cream of wheat, you could have oatmeal, you could have some barley, whatever the warm grain is, so that the digestion doesn't have to work so hard. And we'll talk about digestion in a minute. You can make it with some lovely spices. You could put cinnamon in it, you could put a little bit of cardamom in it, some what your favorite sweetener is. Hopefully that would be honey, but you would want to wait till you take it off the stove before you put that in. I like to put in maple syrup. That's my favorite way to sweeten things at this time of year. I like the smell, I like the taste, and it's very digestible. And always put in a little bit of salt. So even if it's just a dash, if you're on a no-salt diet, you need a little bit of salt, because in Ayurveda, we like to have 6 tastes. So a little salt, a little cinnamon maybe, maybe a little cardamom, a little bit of ghee, which we talked about. So you've got some nice digestible oil in there. Mixing that up, you'll smell the fragrance of that coming off. It'll feel warming and it'll feel satisfying. And you don't need to eat a lot. You can just have a little tiny bit. But you want to have something to break that fast, okay? If you're a big eater, you'll love it. If you're not a big eater, it's going to be a struggle. I understand that. But this might be the place where your hard work happens, all right? But you'll see the benefit will be tenfold, trust me. So you have your breakfast. The second meal of the day we have for you is not a snack at 10. It could be, but we'd like to see if you could get up all the way here to midday to dinner. I like to use this word because it's an old word my mother, St. Tabitha, used to call us for dinner. And it didn't mean we were eating in the evening. It meant the big middle-of-the-day family meal. Back in the day, you know, when we were an agrarian society and the farmers were out, you know, working, everybody would come in for the big meal at noon because it was hot. And it was a time of day where it was best to really begin to nourish yourselves. If you were working on a farm where there were animals, you wouldn't be milking, you wouldn't be feeding the chickens, you would be letting the animals rest because of the heat. And so when we first started schools in America, public schools, when kids went to school, they'd bring their dinner pail with them, not their lunch pail, right? So you can call it lunch, but I'm calling it dinner for a very specific reason, because it should be your biggest meal of the day. Ayurveda says the sun is at its highest around noon. That's when your digestive fire is also at its highest. So without is so within. Whatever's happening in nature is happening in me. And so I want to have my biggest meal here. So what I want you to do here is dinner, which means eat big. Eat big, right? So we want you to have your biggest meal then. We'll talk about what that meal is in just a minute. But this is a general format that I'd like to see you have moving then into winter. So you keep this format going on. It's not something you're going to change up so much. And then finally, we're going to come in through the afternoon. And as we get closer to 6, we want you to have your supper. Right? And supper is what, again, my mother used to call our evening meal. And it was when you would have your supplemental meal. So supper is the supplemental meal. It's not the biggest meal. And this might be difficult for you to do, especially if you're living in a family where, you know, your partner may come home after work, or you may come home after work to meet your partner. And that's when you kind of enjoy a meal together. So I don't want to disrupt that. That's very important. And we want to support that, or the children are eating with you as well. But you would want, during the 7-week period of time, to have a very specific supper. And we wouldn't want it to be as large as we have your middle meal of the day, the dinner, or what you might call lunch. So this is just for a short period of time, just to try it out. It doesn't have to be something that you carry on, although ideally in Ayurvedic medicine, we would say it's the best for support your digestion and also to support your sleep. We want to give you a number of hours post-eating to digest your food before you go to sleep. And so this is a really lovely routine or cycle to begin to reset yourself on as you move into winter to support your ability not only to get to sleep, but to stay asleep. So here we're going to have our supper. So how come I have wake up and supper right next to each other at 6? Because this is the AM and this is the PM. All right? So that's what I want you to think about, having 3 meals a day, breakfast, dinner and supper every single day of this restart, of this cleanse and rejuvenation, no matter what you're eating, to having 3 meals a day. And for you, that might be the biggest change you make in this whole particular practice, and that's great. That's a great healthy change to make. So what is it I keep talking about with digestion? Let's look over here at our board at our 3 concepts. We've talked a little bit about dosha, moving from that pitta season, right, into the winter, into the vata season. And these are Ayurvedic terms for doshas. Again, you can learn more about those on our website. And if we were looking at this one, this would be a dosha we don't have up there called kapha. I'm just going to put this in parentheses, just for folks that have studied Ayurveda to kind of help you land this information, okay? If you haven't studied Ayurveda, don't sweat it, not to worry. But for those who have, I want to make sure that we clue you into what we're talking about. All right. So moving from summer season into late fall and winter, we've talked about that. We've talked about building resiliency, gathering those nuts like the squirrels so that we have them ready for us when the hard, rough, cold, light, frenetic days of winter hit, we have some durability. We've built up our reserves. Our tissues are nice and healthy. Our hydration is useful. Our body's digesting and evacuating with vigor and ease and steadiness. So the next thing we want to look at is this word Agni, A-G-N-I. It has a lot of meanings in the yoga and Ayurvedic world. I'm only looking at one very, very specific meaning according to Ayurveda for this fall cleanse and rejuvenation, and that's our digestive power, all right? So the power of our body to physically digest, emotionally digest, mentally digest, and spiritually digest, ultimately, and transform. It's a transformative quality. So again, we want to eat our dinner, our biggest meal of the day, because that's when our agni, our digestive power, is at its most bala, its strongest way. We want to break our fast here with a small amount of food. I mean, you can have a little more if you're a morning person, but a smaller amount of food that's super easy to digest, because we don't have a lot of digestive power when we first wake up, right? Our body's turning up all the switches, turning all the knobs on so we can get going in the morning. We don't have a lot of energy to spend digesting. We have a finite amount of energy from the tips of our toes to the top of our heads. This water sac is one container, and within it we have a very certain amount of energy. And that energy can only be spent in certain ways. So if I'm putting all my energy in digesting pancakes and sausage and eggs and, ice cream on my Belgian waffle or whatever it is I'm having in the morning, what's going to happen to the rest of my energy? I'm going to get depleted, and I haven't even gotten into my day yet. So what we want you to think about is, what's the best way to spend your energy? Remember to get the same amount of energy when you wake up, throughout your day, and then be able to go to sleep. So eating in this way, with the variations that fit your regional needs, your family needs, your personal needs, your medical needs, will help you begin to create a system for yourself, a routine, so you'll regularize, or we would say self-regulate your system, so that you have a nice flow of energy throughout the day. So a smaller meal here, big meal there, and then a smaller meal back down here, supplementing, so in case you're hungry. If you've been working out during this time of day, you've been going for a run, you've been moving furniture into the house, you might need a little bit bigger supper. But if you've not been doing that, if you've just been getting finished with work and then mentally exhausted from maybe the drive home or from wrangling children after school, then you only need to supplement with nutrition. You don't need an enormous amount at that time of day, because you're getting ready to go back into a quieter time of day. All right, quieter time of day. So that's what we're talking about with dosha, agni, and ojas. These are the three things that I want you to focus on during this time. How can I support the movement of from one season to the next? How can I support my digestive fire, my ability to digest my food, my thoughts, my feelings, my life experiences? And then how can I build my reserves? All right? If you can reset during this time, during the seasonal glitch, I guarantee you're going to have an easier, smoother, more comforting, more resilient, more adaptable winter season. And that is going to bring you a lot more joy in your life. So let's get the specifics of our food cleanse down. All right. We've already talked about pears and ghee. So now let's look at, what is it I want you to eat for 3 days? And you're going to love it. It may not sound exciting, but bear with me. So we're going to start with rice. And this happens to be basmati white rice. Why white rice? Because the brown covering on the brown rice is like a shell almost. It's very delicious, and doesn't mean you can't have it ever again. But during this food cleanse time, this 2 to 3 days, I want you to have the rice without that covering on it, because it'll be easier to digest. Remember, we want to make sure that digestive fire doesn't have to do anything else except digest simple foods, so it can go and cleanse and detoxify the blood, the heat from the plasma, and the blood and the other tissues move through the lymph and detoxify the body before we go into our cold season. Okay? So we're going to boil the rice, and we're going to boil some mung beans. And oftentimes we use yellow split mung beans, because the green on the mung bean is actually the shell as well. So whichever you can get will be fine. But we want to boil this. This will be our protein source, and it will help you begin again to keep your energy well managed. So boiling these two together with spices. And some of the spices we have here for you, this is a traditional spice mix we use in Ayurvedic medicine. We've got cumin, coriander, and fennel seed. These two are powdered, and this is the seed. You can use either. If you use seeds, remember when you put the seed in the ghee, right? So we're having a mix here, ghee and spices. When you're opening up your spices in your ghee, so you're going to saute, pour a little ghee in your pan, you're going to saute your spices in there. We actually call it making it a medicinal ghee, when the spices are infused into the clarified butter. When you do that, I want you to remember, if you're using the powdered form of the spices, it won't take so long, maybe a minute or two, for the ghee to be infused with the powdered spices because they're broken down. If you're using seeds, which is great, you want to wait until the seed starts to kind of pop and crackle. It'll open a little bit. Not till the, we don't want to burn the ghee, but it'll pop and crackle and you'll smell them. It'll be really vibrant. So that's when we want you to then apply that medicated ghee or oil to the rice and the mung bean that's been boiling. So that way you'll actually create a medicine. This food will become your medicine. And that's how we're going to feed our bodies and nourish ourselves in a very simple and easily digestible manner, so that we'll have more energy in our water sac to do other things like cleanse our tissues, detoxify the heat, and build our reserves. 3 days maximum. 2 days if you're not sure. 1 day if you're really concerned. Think about it. But try to build in to doing something for yourself with these types of foods. Very simple, very inexpensive. If the rest of the family is not interested in going along on this journey with you, totally understand it. This is generally a side dish for my family, and I'll make them some other foods. If you're really, you're interested, but you're really concerned you're going to get bored in this type of eating for a couple days, that's understandable. What you could do then is take some of your dark greens, like dandelion greens or kale or even some spinach, and let yourself saute those greens in the ghee and the spices for a few minutes so they start to wilt a little bit. Then fold that into the mung bean and the rice. And I think you'll feel a little variation to what you're eating. That's fine. That's fine, because those will be easy to digest, and dark leafy greens are also bitter and astringent, so they help detoxify heat. All right, so you can read more about this. We'll have a little bit of information later on the website. But I want you to know this is really what we want you to be eating for those few days. Now, if you need a snack, if you're someone, my middle son Jack likes to snack. He's a snacker. Or if you're someone that's an athlete and you need to kind of have more energy, even though you're supposed to be resting and relaxing, remember, during those 7 days. But if you need to have a little bit more protein, then what we usually do is have you take some almonds, and my friends in the kitchen have done a great job. They've soaked these almonds and they peeled them. So we have some peeled almonds here. And what you do is I just put 9 almonds or so in a little bit of water and let them sit overnight. You just peel off the skins, and then you can put them in a container and you can bring them with you to work or to school or wherever you might need to go. And what you can do then is have something, if you have to have it, at this juncture between at 10 and at 2. I call these the glitches. It's sort of a Catherine-ism. It's not a true Ayurvedic concept. But at these glitches between seasons and between times of day, sometimes you need a little bit extra support. Many of us are snackers by nature, and so going to 3 meals a day will be very challenging. So I want you then to take those almonds that you have, and you could have them at either this time or at this time, at 10 or at 2. So if you really feel your energy decreasing and you need more support, that would be what I'd like you to do. But don't do it on the regular. Do it once you decide you need to have that support. Try it without that at first. The other thing you could do would be to have that pear or apple we talked about either at 10 or at 2. Right? So 2 very simple snacks you could have if you needed to add it in. All right? I don't want you to feel like you're depriving yourself or that you're not taking good care of yourself. You're actually taking really good care of yourself by eating in this way, at least for a couple days. All right. So let's finish up with this food part. The last thing that you could have, if you're not a spice person, you don't really cook, it's super easy to boil rice and mung dal. You'll be fine. You could also get a spice mix. My friends at Banyan Botanicals make an already made khichri spice. And the word that we use for this type of food and Ayurvedic medicine is khichri, spelled a couple different ways depending on your transliteration. But here we have K-I-T-C-H-A-R-I. And you can get a pre-made spice mix. The reason this has this vibrant orange color is they've used turmeric. Turmeric is a beautiful spice. It's a medicinal Ayurvedic herb, perfect, perfect for getting rid of the inflammation that heat can create in the body. So if you want to add some turmeric in, you could certainly do that. That would be a lovely thing to add into your spice mix for your khichdi. Not necessary. Not everyone enjoys that flavor, but you could certainly give it a try. All right, so we've looked at our foods. We've talked a lot about what we're doing with our foods here. Now let's talk about the things that we're going to be doing to continue to support our digestion of foods, thoughts, and feelings. And these are our daily habits. So let's review what we've said so far. We're going to be detoxing the pitta, building our reserves. We're going to be resetting our system so that we're moving into winter with more support and with a regularized routine, because in the winter, in vata season, we tend to get kind of frenetic. So there'll be lots of demands on us, and we want to do some things to take good care of ourselves as we move into that season, right? So try to keep some of these practices. Some of the things we're going to ask you to do during this cleanse and rejuvenate is to start rejuvenating as soon as you start to cleanse, right? So a couple of things that Ayurveda likes us to do is called dinacharya. It's a Sanskrit word, dina meaning daily and charya meaning routine. So in our daily routine, specifically for our cleanse and rejuvenation during this week period, I want you to start at least one thing a day to support gentle cleansing and rejuvenating for your body. All right. So the first thing I might start with is my glass of water in the morning. So I'll take my glass of water, about this size. I'll cut myself a quarter of this lemon. I'll squeeze it in my water, and then I'll have a sip, which I'm going to do right now. This nice lemon water is going to help alkalize our system. It's going to support the lymph to begin to do its job. We need the lymph system to, Dr. Duyard says, to open the drains. We want to cleanse out the waste that can get clogged in the lymph system of our body so that our body will operate with greater ease and steadiness. The next thing we're going to do, and if you're a Himalayan Institute mission member, I know you know what this is. This is our neti pot. So we're going to use our neti pot to do some nasal evacuation. Irrigate the channels, the right and left channel, to clean out any stagnation. And then after that, we're going to do a little bit of nose oiling. So again, this is something that I make a lot of friends on the airplanes when I do this, or people don't talk to me, depending. But we're going to use the Pure Bliss. This is the one we carry at HI. It's basically a carrier oil of sesame with some aromatherapy in it, sandalwood, some floral scents that help to calm the nervous system. So we want to support the PNS, the peripheral nervous system. So we're going to use this nose oil. And you just use the pinky method, put a few drops in your hand and just roll it around there in the nasal passages. Inhale, let it come up. Do the coronoid plexus, this little spongy part in front of the forehead, will be supported and stimulated by the effect of the aromatherapy and the oleation. So it helps to calm the mind, calm the nervous system. In the morning, when you're having your drink, if it feels like you're a little mucousy, there's a little bit of mucus buildup in the morning, then what I want you to add into your lemon water is a little bit of honey. All right, we've got this cute little glass here of honey. So it's generally raw honey. It might even be a little bit whiter in color than this, depending. You're just going to add a little bit of it in there, maybe like a quarter teaspoon. You could have the water be warm if you wanted. That might also be helpful, because otherwise it'll take a while to stir the honey. Not boiling hot, so room temperature or warm. So a little lemon and honey. And that will help to scrape some of the mucus and clear some of the mucus out of the throat in that way. The other thing that we do in Ayurvedic medicine in the morning, before we do anything after using the restroom, is we tongue scrape. So you stick out your tongue, scrape it off 7 times, and get some of the stagnation off the tongue, some of the undigested foods off the tongue. We call that ama. So these are many different things. I'm not saying them in any particular order. I'm not telling you which things to do. I'm giving you choices of some opportunities that will support you rejuvenating and cleansing as we move through this. Everybody will have a different idea of what will work for them. So if you could choose one thing a day, ending up with 7 different activities that you do for yourself to nourish and rejuvenate yourself and gently cleanse the body on a daily basis, then you will have a greater boon, a double effect of what we're doing in our cleanse and rejuvenation for your health and wellness moving forward into the winter time. We do a lot of tea sipping in Ayurvedic medicine as well. So again, that cumin, coriander, and fennel that we talked about in here, they also make it in a seed form, again, with my friends at Banyan. So if you feel like you can't go into the store and buy the seed yourself and make it, then you've got it prepackaged. No excuses allowed in our cleanse at all. And what we'll be doing with this tea is just putting a tablespoon in a teacup, put boiling water on it, let it steep about 10 minutes because they're seeds, so it takes a while for it to open up. Then strain the seeds out and sip the tea. So if you wanted to have something, again, if you were feeling dull or feeling like you needed some variety, you could sip this tea a couple of times a day, whatever way would work for you, and it will help your digestion. So it kindles your Agni. It supports your digestive juices. And that's what we need to do during this cleanse. Remember, we want the body not to work so hard with digestion. We want to kindle the digestion. And then finally, my sort of fun things you get to do, which are just rejuvenating. There's nothing cleansing about these at all. This is a little rose water and glycerin, and you can make your own rose water too. So take some rose petals off of your rose bush if you still have it in bloom. You people in the south might have it, or on the west coast. Put it in a glass of water and set it in the sun during the day. And then put it in a spritz bottle in the evening and let it cool off. And then you can just spritz your face, spritz your arms, put your neck and your chest, and that rose water will cool the heat coming off of the body. So as we detoxify this heat on the inner realm, we also need to detoxify the heat in the outer realm. So that means our skin might feel still hot. It might have a little bit of a redness to it, or even a little bit of dryness to it, and this rose water will cool off the skin. It's lovely. The daily practice that we would ideally want you to have, this is sort of the one you'll get the biggest boon from, to be honest with you, in a nourishing or restorative manner, would be daily body oiling and dry brushing. So there's more to say about this. It's a longer practice, and you can find information on the website about it. We'll give it to you in a little bit of a format after our talk. But taking a good sesame-based oil, you might have used coconut in the summer, and that's great, but you're moving into winter. So generally speaking, we used just a plain sesame. You could use the Trifala sesame we sell here at the Institute. There are some Ayurvedic companies that sell vata-specific or pitta-specific oils. You could use those as well. Whatever works for you. You're going to just put this oil bottle, and you could get a smaller one if you like, but this is the size I like to use. Put it in the sink, put hot water in the sink, let it sit there. And while it's sitting in the sink, I'm going to take my dry brush and rub long on the long bones and round on the round bones of my whole body. I'm going to rub with my colon, so down the left side, across the transverse colon, up the ascending colon, on the belly. I'm going to go the opposite way on my heart. Right? I get to do a little yoga, a little Gurmukh Asana, trying to get my upper back and lower back. So once I've dry brushed my body, I've stimulated the skin, I've detoxed the sloughing of the debris on my skin, I've woken up the nadi system, then I'm going to take my warm oil that's been sitting in the hot water and do the same thing. Pour the oil in my hand, long on the long bones, round on the round bones, whole body. And then what I usually do is I'll sit and meditate with the oil on. My friend Richard walks his dog in the morning with his oil on. So whatever you want to do, but you need to let it sit for about 15, 20 minutes while you're going throughout your morning routine so the body can soak that up. That's going to rejuvenate the body. That's going to build those reserves. It's going to support the plasma in the body, support the dermis of the body. It's going to support the nervous system. These are the things we need to support as we move into winter. Because if we don't support that, those qualities of winter will build rough, hard, dry, light, hypermobile, right? Chala, agitated. And then what will happen is we'll start to feel that in our behavior and in our thoughts, and we might not have such a comfortable time in the winter. Our durability will break down. We could have problems with some of our immunity in the winter. So we have to rejuvenate the outer body just like we're rejuvenating the inner body. We've got to rejuvenate the mind just like we're rejuvenating with a sense of emotional calm. All right? Any of these practices we can think of to do. This is probably our number one practice in Ayurvedic medicine to really rejuvenate. And then finally, something that's delightful to try is the Chawan Prash. Prash is like a jam, and Chawan was a sage. More to say about it. You can read about it on the label here, I think, as well. There's a nice story about it online. Chawan Prash is a nutritive jam. So this is something that we often take to support rejuvenation ongoing throughout the winter. We usually put like a boil some milk for a few minutes and put a tablespoon in and stir it in and then sip that milk in the evening. You could do it in the morning as well. But that's something that you might want to try if you were feeling like you needed more durability. If you were feeling like the body needs to have more support from the food as medicine, then adding chawan prash as a nutritive jam might be useful for you. So we've got almost 10 things on here that you can try between our food choices, our teas, our nasya, our neti, our abhyanga, our dry brushing, our glycerin, all kinds of things. So I don't want you to do them all. I want you to pick one a day for those 7 days. And then finally what I want you to do, after taking the food changes and after working with the daily routine, is I want you to think about how you're going to use your yoga practice if you're a yoga practitioner. If you're not a yoga practitioner, this might be a time to start trying some yoga practice. At the very least, try some breathing practices. We have some wonderful resources on the Himalayan Institute on our website. So I want you to think about maybe learning from Sandra Anderson. She's got a beautiful practice of the essentials of pranayama, or from Rolf Sovic, the rest and breathing practices that he has, and also the fundamentals of systemic relaxation with Sarah Guglielmi. So choose just one to start with. So if you already have a pranayama practice, choose the deep relaxation with Sarah G. If you've never done any of this before, it's all new to you, maybe start with Rolf's rest and breathe. Let yourself begin to try to take a practice once a day. Maybe that's 10 minutes in the morning if you happen to have more morning time. If mornings are tight already, you got a lot of options of things you have to do here, then let it be in the evening before you go to bed. I'm not as interested in becoming authoritarian or rigid about what you're doing. I want you to find a way to fit this into what you're doing in your life, or to take out a habit that doesn't serve you, like maybe that House of Cards rerun. Not that it's not great, but remove that. Then you'll have time to do a practice, right? So it's not so much about I'm going to deplete somebody. I basically simply want you to make adjustments, because making adjustments will then remove those bad habits, or those habits that don't really nourish you. Those habits that are, you know, 80-20 rule in Ayurveda. 80% of the time, you're going to do the Ayurvedic method. You're going to live in a way that nourishes you. 20% of the time, you're going to go do something else. Go see a, go watch your Netflix and chill, or, you know, I don't know, run a race at a weird time of day, whatever it is you're going to do, go for the second glass of wine, whatever it might be. But 80% of the time, try to think of what is it that you can offer yourself as a way to take good care of yourself, right? So asana that allows you to twist, that allows you to have lateral movement, so that opens up the flank of the body and then twists the body. Opening the flank of the body and then twisting the body. Those are the kinds of asana or postures we want you to do during this fall cleanse and rejuvenation. We want you to open up, let the heat out, detoxify the heat. Pitta loves its lateral poses. And then you want to slowly support digestion, samanvayu, by twisting in, all right? So those types of asana is what we'd want you to do. Alternate nostril breathing, ideally, or diaphragmatic breathing. Restorative yoga. 2 or 3 restorative poses every day through this seven-day period of cleansing and rejuvenating. These are the things we want you to do. So let's just review a little bit more about the nourishing and rejuvenating, because we got a lot of cleansing activities, a few rejuvenating daily activities. But let's look back at our clock, and let's see, what are some things you can do to build your reserves? Not just the idea of, I'm going to take good care of myself every day, because that builds your reserves. Not just the idea that I'm going to eat 3 meals a day, which will build your reserves because you're digesting more efficiently. What else can you do? Well, meditate. I mean, you knew I'd mention it at some point. I mean, we are the Himalayan Institute. We do promote this beautiful practice of meditation. So if you're someone that already has the ability to be still, even if it's just for 3 or 5 minutes, let yourself be still and internalize. Let yourself begin to practice meditation, or at the very least, deep relaxation during this time period. And then you can do things like maybe in the morning, take a walk in nature. This is a wonderful way to build your reserves and to come in greater contact with something greater than yourself. Silence is something
I've read about it.
I've seen it in movies. Being silent for a very brief period of the day, like maybe a half hour of silence, no radio on in the car, silence. Just allowing yourself to be in silence will nourish you, will support you in that way. And then devotion. Learning to have some sort of devotional practice, whether that's waking up in the morning and saying a prayer of thanks and gratitude, whether that's saying a mantra, if you practice mantra. Maybe it's a way to, when you're in nature, look up at the sky and just wonder and be in awe of the fact that you get to be on the planet this day, alive. So whatever type of devotional practice that works for you is what I want you to think about. Cleansing and rejuvenating is not for the light of heart. It does require that you take some action on your own behalf. But I do guarantee you this, that taking that 1 week, and 2 weeks if you're a master at it, but taking a week, really allowing yourself to think, how can I best support myself? How can I change up and reset the dial for myself so I move with greater ease and steadiness into the winter? How can I detoxify that heat? Can I find 1, 2, or 3 days to offer myself this very nutritive, simple lifestyle of eating? Can I find a way to rest? These are the things I want you to think about, then get out your calendar, and let us help you cleanse and rejuvenate this fall. Thank you so much for your time. I wish you the very best. Namaste.